changing the flowering date of the corn plant. We're visiting today with Sean Kepler, Department of Agronomy, University of Wisconsin-Madison, and the College of Agricultural and Life Sciences. And I'm C.V. Kenyon. Sean, tell us why you would like to change the flowering date on corn plants.
Being able to have those hybrids adapted to those growing seasons is quite important in terms of getting the maximal productivity from the hybrids.
Sean, can you give us a description of how you're doing this?
We're using genetic analysis to identify a particular gene that has an important influence on flowering time, and we're using genetic procedures to manipulate that gene to try and make corn flower later or earlier, depending on our goals.
And Sean, can you perhaps give us some examples of how this flowering gene may be used?
Having the correct flowering time is important within a region. You might be a farmer that's growing corn for silage, and then you want corn hybrid that's a little bit later. You might be growing corn for a grain, so then you might want corn that will maximize the length of the growing season and maximize grain yield. And if you're doing some sort of crop rotation or cover crops, you might want even an earlier flowering hybrid, or perhaps recovering from a disastrous event like a rainstorm and having to replant your corn hybrids.
Sean, your work with the flowering gene has resulted in a patent. Can you tell us how this will be done and used?
So we've submitted a patent for flowering time gene that provides the option for companies to license use of that gene to manipulate flowering time in their cultivars. In general, it seems that having protection on genes or other technologies facilitates getting that information out there compared to solely just publishing the information and making it available in a public sense.
And Sean, can you tell us a little bit about perhaps this patenting process you used here at the University of Wisconsin?
At the University of Wisconsin, if you have federally funded research, you fall under the Bayh-Dole Act, so it's a requirement to disclose discoveries that are funded by federal funding to your institution. That agency that handles that is the Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation. It's had a long history in patenting genes and other technologies back into the early 1900s.
And Sean, what are the benefits of having a patent through WARF?
The licensing fees go back to WARF, and that funding helps to support number of things at the university. Money comes back to help support graduate students, to help purchase equipment, help new faculty start their programs.
And Sean, how long might it be before people have access to your patented gene?
Once a gene is received by WARF, accepted by WARF, and a patent process proceeds, it becomes visible to people relatively quickly.
I hate to ask, but how much does licensing a gene cost?
The cost actually is quite variable. Sometimes companies will pay a certain amount up front. Other models are that there will be just a very limited amount of cost up front, and then there might be some royalties returned on the number of units of seed sold.
We've been visiting with Sean Kepler, Department of Agronomy, University of Wisconsin-Madison, and the College of Agricultural and Life Sciences, and I'm C.V. Kenyon.